John Broughton is amazing, and I'm really pleased to have a corridor with Emeritus Professor John, who has dedicated over three decades to Māori oral health, injury prevention, kaupapa Māori research methods, and in recognition of his services to Māori health, theatre, and the community, he was appointed a Companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit back in the day. It's right that we celebrate his contribution to these areas of Māori health and concern, and it's a pleasure to have him join us on the program. He's been involved with Otago University for so very long, and it's a pleasure to have you with us. Te rangatira, John. Tēnā koe, and welcome to Pākehā. Ko tēo tēnei.
Kia ora.
Hey, John. How are things? How's those niho of yours, John Broughton? It's good to catch up with you again.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. All kapai tēnā. Very good. Yes.
Well, look, it's an area that is of utmost importance, and as the push comes to get access to dental health for more of our people, it makes a hell of a lot of sense. Well, let's talk about the importance of oral health from a overall health perspective for our people, please, John. It's still a major concern, is it not?
Oh, yes, it is. Very much so. But the answer is not rocket science. All people want is an accessible access to regular, affordable care, really. And what's something interesting that happened way back was in 1990, Winston Peters was the Minister for Māori Affairs, and he brought together a think tank and produced a fantastic document called Ka Awatea, the New Dawn. And that document was to take Māori positively through to the new millennium. However, it didn't seem favour with his national government, and Winston Peters left the National Party at that point. But when we had the, and he went off and established New Zealand First, what happened was that in 1996 was the first MMP election, and part of the agreement between New Zealand First and Jim Bolger and National was that Ka Awatea was to come out of the bottom drawer and be enacted. And part of that document was that there were going to be four Māori commissions established, Māori Health Commission, Māori Education Commission, a Māori Economic Development Commission, and a Māori Employment Commission. And for my sins, I was appointed to the Māori Health Commission, and there were six of us. And we went around the country, and we met face-to-face with all the Māori health providers. But what was interesting is that I had a meeting with Tau Hanare in his office at the Beehive as the minister, and I presented him with Oranga Niho, a plan for action. And it was simple. It was to have a school dental therapist and a dentist working together as part of a team, as part of a Māori health provider. Well, he liked it. He took it to Cabinet. Cabinet liked it and put it in the budget for the next year. What happened with all these commissions was that they were to have a lifespan of 3 years, and we were to provide the Minister of Māori Affairs with an independent stream of contestable advice that would improve Māori health and well-being. What happened was that at that election, we had another 6 months to go, and we had a whole lot of things that were to come on stream. The election was on the Saturday, and on the Monday, under David Samuels, Labour scrapped all the commissions. However, our Māori health plan for action couldn't be stopped because it was in the budget. And we tried to get four pilots, but we got funding for one. But where was it to go? And it was decided with the Ministry of Health that where there was high Māori population, where there was no need, where there was a high need, where there was no existing services and that there was a preferred provider. And when they put those four things together, the light shone down on Flaxmere and Hastings. And so my cousin Elena Watney was rung up and told, oh, we're going to give you this contract to establish a Māori dental service with Te Tai Whenua He Ratonga. And it was happened, and it was been outrageously successful ever since. And over the years, a number of Māori health providers have been able to establish oral health services, but maintaining overall funding for a lot of them has been very, very difficult. But it's the way to go.
It appears so. It's disappointing that these sorts of initiatives, so needed, are compromised by political change. It's something that we can't really factor in because of the uncertainty of the political landscape pushing forward. But certainly when we concentrate on dental health, just remind us of its overall importance to our physiology. And if the if it's not happening where the food goes, it can cause problems everywhere else. How important dental health and hygiene for Māori?
Absolutely, because, I mean, we all, we like to eat well, and eating well and digesting and chewing our food, good to maintain a good dentition to do that. So if you're losing teeth, that can impact there. But also in later life, poor oral health and especially gum disease can impact upon other health indicators, like diabetes and heart disease and things like that. So it is.
There's a cosmetic.
Have teeth for life.
There's a cosmetic element to it as well. If your if the teeth are good, you can present an air of confidence. We all know people whose teeth are problematic and seldom smile and very self-conscious of that. And therefore, if you're fronting up to apply for a job or the like, it can really compromise things for you. What do you see as some of the emotional charges that having good teeth or access to good dental care can result in?
Self-esteem and personal image and things like that. Absolutely.
That's very important, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Let's not understate that because, to stand proudly, present yourself well, apply for a job, speak on behalf of whānau at hui, etc. These are important. We're getting some traction. There are some calling for universal dental accessibility. I think that was the Greens. A lot of the other parties tend not to prioritise it. Do you see any positivity going forward here politically? How important do you think it might be for us to keep pushing so that adults get that access?
It would be, but no government would be able to afford it because the cost would be absolutely horrendous, immense. And that because the overheads in a dental practice, and I know I've been there, in actual fact, are huge. Even if, the Labour and the Greens wanted to have that free dental care for poor, a lot of dentists, what that meant was that a scale of fees would have been introduced, and a lot of dentists wouldn't go along with that, and a lot of dentists wouldn't enter into it.
Is there some room for our Māori people to work here? I mean, how many Māori dentists are there? Do you think post-settlement tribes could develop dental clinics staffed by Māori clinicians and providing dental care? Look, you've got to pay your dentists. Well, they've studied hard. It takes a long time to become a qualified dentist. But do you think that our Māori whānau, we could do more for ourselves? That's what I'm getting at, I guess, John.
Oh, yes, well, we've had huge numbers of Māori dental graduates in recent years, which is really fantastic. And for Māori, the way to go, I'm firmly been convinced of for a long time, is Māori oral health providers. And we've just recently proved the effectiveness of that because recently, we did a big study that was done in Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. And here in Aotearoa, it was all done within the rohe of Tainui. And what it was is that the study recruited over 200 young Māori mothers who are hapu, and we followed them through with their when their babies were born, and they had a number of interventions, and there were two groups, those who had the intervention and the delayed intervention. And at the end of the study, what we found that of all the tamariki in the study, not one child, not one tamariki was admitted to hospital to have a tooth extracted. Not one child had lost a tooth. And the rate of decay between in the study was very, very, very low, that it was virtually insignificant. And why was this? And it was because of the cultural connectedness of whānau with the health provider. Simple. And that proved beyond any doubt whatsoever of the impact and the importance of Māori health providers and those Māori oral health providers. And the studies have all been published in the general journals.
But
it was quite a match because before we studied, Waikato Hospital had quite a disturbing number of tamariki who admitted to the hospital for general anaesthetic for a dental reason. And in our study, not one child subject needed that form of treatment.
Well, sadly, the sugary content in so many of our kai is resulting in very early decay, and many preschoolers have lost teeth that need to be addressed. It is a major problem health-wise for our people, and I'm pleased to have somebody like you, John, who dedicated much of your life to trying to create healthier environments for our people, and in particular the focus on dental health. Look, you're a playwright as well, and that's really quite unusual as somebody is a senior academic and also puts pen to paper in this way. His best known play that was written by John Guise was Michael James Minaya, which you might recall. He wrote that back in the early 90s, which was a one-person play about a New Zealand Vietnam veteran, first performed by actor Jim Moriarty. But you've written other works as well. Have you been busy with your pen of late, John?
Oh, yes. Bits and pieces here and there. And I really like, having spent a long time myself in Her Majesty's service in the Army, as a territorial officer, I like plays with the New Zealand military theme. So, one that we did was called Hell and Bullets, which was about a true story of a Ngaitahi soldier in Gallipoli, and he came back and he had wrote a play about a true story, which was performed to great acclaim at the Ngaitahi iwi here in Dunedin. And then another one, a cousin, Major Richard Parata, who was a member of, he was in the British Army in the Black Watch. And he asked me to write a play about his uncle, who was a 26-year-old captain of a Hudson bomber in World War II. And he was stationed in Fiji. And he was tasked one night to seek out and destroy a German submarine, which had been hassling shipping in the area. And the plane set off at 1 o'clock in the morning and was never seen again. And so he asked me to write a play about that. I thought, oh, how can I write a play about that? Then I had what I call John Borden's stroke of genius, and we did that.
Well, again, I salute you for the mahi that you've been putting together. I know you're in your late 70s now, man, or mid-70s anyway. And so, you know, what do you think needs to be advocated for as far as kaupapa Māori methodology, dental health, et cetera? How strongly do we need to stamp our feet to get more access to the services our people require?
Well, I think there needs to be community dental services established, and you know, along the model of my dental health services, and we've got one here in Dunedin. At South Dunedin is Te Kaika, which is a big health and social services, and it has a 4-chair dental clinic. And the dental clinic was put in, paid for by the Faculty of Dentistry of the University of Otago. And